Reminders. Meg didn't need more of them, but that's what she got when her father let her into his new apartment at the Horizon Center for Seniors Wednesday evening. He held out a plastic grocery bag. What's in there? Notebooks. From your mother's desk, he said. Take them now before I forget. He did more and more of that lately, forgetting. Idiopathic short-term memory loss was his doctor's name for his condition. Idiopathic, meaning there was no particular explanation. An apt term for Spencer Powell, a man who lived entirely according to his whims. Meg took the bag and set it on the dining table along with her purse. This would be a short visit, coming at the end of her 12-hour day. Hospital rounds at 7 a.m., 2 morning deliveries, and then 4 hours of back-to-back patients at her practice. So, how was today, she asked. Are you finding your way around all right? Colorful place, he said, leading her to the living room. Pair of guys over in Wing C got a great system for winning on the dogs. The greyhounds, he meant. Is that right? She asked, looking him over. He looked spry as ever. His diabetes was in check, but since her mother had died 7 months earlier, Meg felt compelled to watch him closely. She was looking for diabetic danger signals, swollen ankles, extra fluid in the face, unusual behaviors. All his behaviors were unusual, though, so that part was difficult. Hey, my left kidney's acting up again. Steady pain, kinda dull mostly. What do you suppose that's about? Call Dr. Ames, she said, as she always did when he brought up anything relating to his kidneys. Tomorrow, don't wait. Her father frowned in annoyance, as he always did when she wouldn't diagnose him. What good are you? If you go into labor, I'll be glad to help out. Otherwise, tell Dr. Ames. His apartment was modest. One bedroom, one bath, a combined dining-living area, and a kitchen. But comfortable, furnished mostly with new things. He'd sold the business, Powell's Breeding and Boarding, along with the house and all the property, in order to move here. She didn't know the financial details, but he assured her he could afford to modernize a little. Meg looked around, glad to not see much of her mother here. If her father would just stop regurgitating things from the farm, she might be able to get comfortable with the new order. Was that his strategy too? Was he giving things away so that he didn't have to be reminded of his loss every time he opened a closet or a drawer? He certainly wasn't much for facing the past. The past was where all his failures lived. Well, they had that in common. Why don't you bring Savannah over Sunday? We'll have dinner in this establishment's fine dining room. They just put in one of them self-serve ice cream machines, you know what I'm talking about? You ought to see the old farts elbowing each other to get there first. If I'd known this place was so entertaining, I'd have moved Mom here. This would be her kind of place, don't you think? Sure, she would have liked it a lot, Meg said. The farm had overwhelmed her mother perpetually, even after Brian and his father forgave her parents' mortgage as promised. In the years afterward, Meg offered her mother spending money, but the reply was always, "Oh, heavens no, Meggie. You've done so much as it is. Besides, you know your father." She did. He was too proud to let her put cash in their hands. He hadn't been too proud, though, to encourage her to take Brian's offer. That was different. No money changed hands. It was her choice anyway. That's what he always said. Hey, why don't you bring our girl over here for dinner Sunday? He said this as if the idea had just occurred to him. I'll do that, she said. Right now, I need to get going. Okay, go on. I know, you got things to do. You ought to enjoy the ride a little more, though, now that you can. I'm fine here, everything's settled. I don't know why you don't just get on with your life. Now that she could? What was he talking about? He continued, move forward, Meggie, while you're still young. She looked at him quizzically. He didn't always make sense, but he hated having it pointed out. I'm fine, Dad, she said. It's just been a long day.
The Northeast Side's where the best waves are.
yelled Valerie Haas over the sputtering whine of the motorbikes she and Carson McKay had rented for their excursion on St. Martin. And the nude beaches are there, too. Where's a good bar? Carson yelled back, ready to be done with the noise and the hot wind and the vibration in his crotch, nude beaches or not. Now he pointed to the side of the gravel road, indicating that he was pulling over. You're not done already, Val said when she came to a stop next to him. The sun pressed heavy on his forehead, forcing sweat down the sides of his neck. He wiped it away.
Afraid so, he said.
We aren't even close to finishing the tour. He snorted. They'd been out since 7:30, and it was closing in on 2 o'clock.
Feel free to go on, but I'm heading back to the villas.
Val pushed her sunglasses up onto her shaggy white blonde hair and squinted at him.
Okay, I'll go back with you, if you make it worth my while, she said,
grinning that same provocative grin she'd used on him the night they'd met in LA at the launch party for his latest CD. He shook his head, admiring her brilliant hair, the long, lean muscles in her thighs and arms that were products of uncountable hours of surfing and training.
You're awfully easy on me, you know.
I know, she agreed.
It's a real character flaw.
I never said I was perfect.
She pushed her sunglasses down and turned her motorbike back toward Nettle Bay.
Catch me if you can.